Thank you. this morning. As I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you happy to be in the service this morning? Amen. We consider it a privilege to be in God's presence. Amen. Now, without waste of time, let's turn to our Bibles. Just a note from the librarians, they will be having a fundraising next week. Just come with some cash. Amen. And grab something there. They will have something just to stock up their library before the convention. Amen. So they'll have some merchandise, refreshments to sell to you to raise some money. Amen. God bless you richly. That's next week. Now, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We'll read 3 and 4. Those are the verses that we'll read from. 2 Corinthians. Amen. Shall we read it together? Amen. There we go. But I fear. Amen. Paul says, I'm afraid. Amen. My message will be, just leave it as it is. My message will be another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Amen. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Amen. There is another Jesus than the Jesus that was preached by Paul. If somebody say, I'm afraid you may receive something else, he knows that something else is coming. If he says, I'm afraid you may receive another spirit, that means another spirit is coming. I'm afraid you may receive another gospel. That means another gospel is coming. Amen. I don't know how many, a lot of times some people, some say KFC doesn't taste as it used to. Are there people that agree with that notion? Kentucky Fried Chicken doesn't taste as it used to. Are there people that realize that? Amen. Are there hands in the building? Amen. Amen. I've quit eating KFC. Amen. And some say Coca-Cola is not what it used to be. Oh, Masumo went first. Amen. How many say Coca-Cola is not what it used to be? Amen. The natural types, the spiritual folks. And how many agree that some of the gospels are not the gospel that we are used to? Amen. All right. There's another quotation. It's going to be my custom every Sunday to read a scripture, and we read a quotation together. I think they will bring it up. There we go, if we can just remove. Amen. I pledge want all of us this morning to make this pledge. I pledge.
I pledge this morning to Him with all my heart that by His help and by His grace, I pray that I sit daily without ceasing until I fill every one of His requirements for me in this little stage of mine, till I can be a manifestation of the Living Christ.
Let's do it again. It's a beautiful quotation. How many agree? Amen. I pledge.
I pledge this morning to Him with all my heart that by His help and by His grace, I pray that I'll sit daily without ceasing until I fill every one of His requirements fully in this little stretch of mine, till I can be a manifestation of the Living Christ.
How many have got a desire to be a manifestation of the Living Christ this morning? That is our pledge. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful this morning. Songs of Zion have been sung unto You. That was just to invite Your presence and to make You feel welcome in our midst. It used to be in the olden days that the musicians will go before the ark. And that is why in the end time the prophet caught it and said there should be songs that must be sung unto You before the word comes. Lord, the songs were meant to prepare the hearts of the people for the seed that will come, because the word is the seed. And Lord, we just want to commit the whole process to You, that when we come to the end of the whole thing, let Your name be glorified. And we just want to acknowledge there is no God like You. You are the God that we serve. And Lord, as we made this pledge, it is our desire to be the full manifestation of the living God. And for all those requirements to flow through this old statue, which is ourselves this morning, may every man and woman who is here this morning, whatever they have come here for, may they benefit, dear God. Their coming should not be in vain. And me, as I'm standing here as a minister of the gospel, allow me to be as sincere and as best as I can to deliver what You have put in my heart. Lord, we realize we live during a time where it is no longer easy to preach the gospel. But I am glad that there is a group of people that we can prepare messages for without thinking twice, because they realize that the hour is late. May You be gracious this morning and touch the hearts that are here. If there are visitors in our midst, You know them better than we do. You are the creator of everybody this morning. A visitor and a regular, You have known them before they came here. You know their needs and You can minister to their needs, dear God. As humanity, we have read the scripture. But Heavenly Father, we need the divine inspiration. And we say, if there be anyone that is sick and afflicted in the building, we send a prayer their way. May You strengthen them, may You heal them, may You restore them. Because we know that there is nothing that is out of Your reach. Every human being is within Your reach. Even those that may not be here, loved ones that are in the hospitals, we can send a prayer their way. Even loved ones that are not in the message and have not yet experienced the grace of God, this morning we can send a prayer their way. And Lord, I know that there is nothing that we can ask of You that You are unable to do, as long as it is within the parameters of Your word and Your will, dear God. May You move in a special way this morning, dear God. May You bring an enlightenment to Your people, so that when they leave this place, the greatest desire that we have, may they fall in love with Jesus even better than before when they came, dear God. Because He is the central theme of the ministry. He is the central theme of all our efforts and all our activities. We want people to come to a spot where they say, now I can see Him. Not see the church, not see the pastor, but to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to see Him and know Him is life, dear God. And this morning we want to take every spirit under the control of the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit have the preeminency this morning. And we say, devil, you are a liar. Whatever plans that you have had against this service, we abort those plans in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because we as believers, we've got the authority to bring you under subjection, dear God. And Lord, we want every man and woman to experience the spiritual liberty as we commit the reading of the word to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you richly. Amen. Just gonna take a couple of minutes. Amen. I said I'm going to speak another Jesus, another Spirit, another Gospel. Amen. Now, maybe let's read 2 Corinthians 4, 1-5. 2 Corinthians chapter is 4. The verse will be from 1 to 5. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, shall we read it together? Therefore, seeing... Okay, we can go for it.
Therefore, seeing...
Preach not.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Maybe I need to kickstart by saying, any gospel that preaches any other man outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you must flee from that gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad the prophet kept on saying, the theme of his ministry was that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. Amen. Are you going to help me? What is the theme of our ministry? Because the scripture says we have a ministry. And the theme of our ministry is Jesus Christ is? Amen. I hope that you won't allow the devil to make you starchy this morning. Amen. Tell your friends next to you and say, I'm not going to be starchy. Amen. You rebuke that spirit of starchiness. Amen. We've got to be infused by the weight. Amen. What is the theme of our ministry? Amen. What does it mean? The same Jesus that was here yesterday, we expect him to be here today. And if the Lord tarries, we expect him to be here tomorrow and forevermore. Same Jesus. Are we together? And Paul says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen. And Brother Branham says right there, it brings the whole subject of predestination. Amen. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, we are the servants for Jesus' sake. Are we together? Amen. Now, I said I'm going to preach on another Jesus, another Spirit, another Gospel. But even before I get there, we reject another Jesus. And we reject another Spirit. And we reject another Gospel. We think the Gospel that was brought was enough. How many believe that the Gospel that was brought is enough? This gospel that we have received, I don't see it. It does not need any human improvement at all. Are we together? Amen. Now, Timothy comes, or Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Are we still going to say the time will come, or we are going to say the time is here? Yes. Hallelujah. So that means that what was spoken, you and I are experiencing it in our time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. I don't know how many would remember there was a time when the clergy or the ministers would come before the church and would preach messages. And during the messages, you would find that sinners would live in the middle of the service, and some would come to the altar in the middle of the service to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many remember that time? Amen. Amen. The problem today is that the ministries around the world have become entertainment prone. They've become entertainment inclined. And I want to say any gospel that undermines the fear of God in your heart is of the devil. Hallelujah. Even if it has Jesus attached to it, it is of the devil. A real gospel stirs a fear in the people for the Lord. The real gospel makes the people to be reverent to the Almighty God. The real gospel brings the people to a point of depravity, to where they deprive themselves of worldly pleasures to please their master. Are we together? Are we together? Yes, amen. Now it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall they heap to themselves the teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. Amen. And you hear during our time, every person would say, I need nothing but the truth. But in all fairness, very few people can handle the truth in the end time. Yes. Hallelujah. A lot of people would want to romanticize the truth, but few people would want to embrace the truth, because there is no way that you can embrace the truth without the truth transforming you. Yes. Hallelujah. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Hallelujah. So the real gospel is the gospel that finds you in a spiritual bondage and breaks the spiritual bondage and sets you free. Are we together? Now, he says in Jeremiah 6, I'm just laying the foundation. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. You don't have to go and check it. I'll just quote it here. He says, thou sayest the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. But the Lord says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. I remember I preached a message some years ago in this church, and the title was, the way forward is the way backwards. Are we together? that in order to move forward, you've got to go backwards. In order for us to move back forward today, we've got to go back to the very faith that was once delivered unto the saints and contend for the very faith which was brought, which is the apostolic faith. Are we together? Now, the prophet of God says in this message, and I don't know how many are still enthused and happy to have received the message in the end time. Amen. Let me put it this way, folks. If the gospel is of God, that gospel is going to have an opposition. If that gospel is of God, it's going to be attacked by the enemy. If that gospel is the gospel of God, it is going to make the enemy restless. The reason Jesus was fought is because of the message that he preached. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes could not contend with what Jesus was preaching. And Jesus was not killed by thugs. Jesus was killed by the religious community. Hallelujah. Maybe you did not know that. You thought some gangster somewhere killed Jesus. It was a bunch of priests that connived and killed our Messiah. Hallelujah. Because what he preached during that time, it made the religious community to be rattled. What Peter and Paul struggled with, it was not so much from the unbelievers, but it was from the religious community. And that tells you that in the end time, the truth is going to contend with the people that claim to be religious. The truth is going to be persecuted by the very people that say the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that preach about him. Why am I saying another Jesus? There is another sweet Jesus who is sissified, who is loved by churches, who is a goody-goody. He doesn't want the people to repent. He is there just handing out houses, money, and all sorts. He doesn't want people to repent anymore. But such Jesus this morning, I say, we reject that Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. The Jesus that we speak about, he says, if you come to me, you've got to deny yourself. Yes. Hallelujah. He says, when you come to me, you've got to bear the cross. Hallelujah. And say, is there, must Jesus bear the cross alone? No, there is a cross for everyone. And the Jesus that I'm speaking about, folks, when you follow him, you had much better have your cross. Because if you don't have your cross, you are not qualified to follow that Jesus. Are we together? That the Jesus that is being projected by the religious community, it's a watered down version of the real Jesus. Hallelujah. And for you to know the real, to know that you are being given the wrong Jesus, you must have come in contact with the right Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know that the right Jesus walked into the church and shambocked to them? Hallelujah. He's an unpopular Jesus, folks. They won't tell you about that Jesus. Hallelujah. How many remember the Jesus that said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you are unworthy of me? How many remember the Jesus that said, you generation of vipers, repent or perish? Hallelujah. Such Jesus is not wanted in the end time. This world has rejected that Jesus and they have embraced another Jesus. And this Jesus says, whatever you do is not a big deal. He died for you. You're on your way to heaven. He loves you. But folks, I want to say to you, Jesus loves you, but he's got expectations. Yes. Hallelujah. Can I repeat that? Jesus loves you, but he's got expectations. And those that amounted and became something significant in the kingdom of God is men and women who were resolute. Is men and women who were steadfast in whatever they believed in and were prepared to die for it. Are we together? And I'm simply saying, the reason I'm saying, are you still enthused? You see, we have had a prophet, and we are not ashamed to say we have had a prophet in the end time. And we're not ashamed to say our ministry is based upon the teachings of this prophet. Are you here, folks? Our teachings, our way of running a church, Our way of running our families, our way of running our marriages is based on the teachings of this prophet. And we are not ashamed and will never be ashamed of this prophet at any point in time. And actually, we are not bragging about him. We are more obsessed with what he brought. Because what he brought, it was the weight in the end time. Are you here, folks? And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking that we are more like the people that have left Egypt and that were with Moses. There's no way that you would have reached the promised land without Moses being in your midst. Hallelujah. I don't care how you understood the coordinates during that time. But as long as you were with Moses, you had to follow Moses in order to please God. And if you did not follow Moses, you did not please God. Folks, we need to tell you, there's no other way about it. There's no way that you would have left Egypt except through the ministry of Moses. There's no way that you would have known the will of God except through the ministry of Moses. Moses was the mouthpiece of God when they moved out of Egypt. And outside of Moses, there was no way of escape. You are Bible readers. Maybe you had much go and search. How, if you were there, how would you have gone out except if you followed that man with that rod? Hallelujah. The man with the rod was the answer during that time. But don't be too carnal and say they were following a man. Actually, it was not a man with the rod, but it was God in a man with the rod. Hallelujah. And if you are the person that only sees a man with the rod, at some point in time, you are going to stumble. Because this man, on a human level, Moses had a short temper. Moses had a human party to him. When God told him to strike the rock, he struck the rock twice. Because why? Moses, it was the nature of Moses. It was the temperament of Moses. But for you to be able to know and to embrace Moses, you had to know that the one that was in Moses, it was not a human being, but it was God in Moses. Are we together? All right, I've requested the fan. You can just switch it off. Are we together? Amen. Now, I say, we are not going to be ashamed of this prophet. And I'll tell you why. We've got many of you, and you'll bear with me for mentioning certain things. I've got to mention them. Many of you would not know that in our time we had a great, great evangelist. Awesome evangelist that moved around the world and preached the gospel. And some of them, when they died in disgrace. And maybe many of you did not know, and it is there, it is in the public domain, it's not something that I'm making it up. A.A. Allen, how many remember him? Most miracles happened under that man. A lot of things, demons, if you go and check the videos of A.A. Allen, is one man that a demon could not stand in his presence. He cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. But it is there in the public domain. A.A. Allen, when he died of alcoholism. He was an alcoholic when he died. He's there in the public domain. A.A. Allen had tapes where he recorded his messages. And that's why you've got some of his videos there. Very, very successful. He's off the scene. But when you look around the world, no one is saying much about A. Allen. No one is attacking A. Allen. No one mentions, that's why most of you did not know that he died being an alcoholic. Are we together? His case is settled. There's no problem. Do we still have videos of A. Allen? Oh yes, there are quite plenty of them on YouTube. Is there any movement that is rising against A.A. Allen? Absolutely not. We've heard some that died because of after being involved with women, great evangelists, their matters is sorted, and maybe I'd much better tell you, we know that the famous confession by Jim Swaggart. Is there anybody that is rising against Jim Swaggart? His music is still being sold. His songs are still being enjoyed. There's no one that would want to say, but based on what this man did, this music must be delisted from recording shops or from music shops. His music is still available. I'm going somewhere, folks. My question is, we have had a man that was very simple, born in a simple family, actually in a poor family, went on, was called by God and commissioned by God, went on, and one of the first few people that got attracted to him, it was a man called F.F. Bosworth, who were men of high caliber during that time among the Pentecostals. And they came and they befriended this man. And when he came, Brother Brent came to South Africa, we realized that Brother Bosworth, he came with him. He actually said to Brother Brent, we've been waiting for such a ministry. And he moved around the world, went to India, came to Africa, went from states to states, preaching the gospel. And in 1965, at the age of 56, he died. Why is it that his message in 2017, it is still making people rattled? Why is this message 40, 50 years later, the very same message, people are restless about it? Why don't they just dismiss it like the case of Jimmy Swaggart? You know why? It's because this prophet, you go and search him in money, you find that there was no misrepresentation of his character as far as money is concerned. You go and check him as far as his relations with women, and I'm glad to stand here that Brother Branham never had an extramarital affair. I'll repeat that. This prophet never had extramarital affair. And you go and check in terms of popularity. This is the man that could have become great, but refused to be great because of the reproach of Christ. This is the man that when other evangelists were having good relations with the White House, and he could have made his way into the White House through the miracle of the congressman, but he rejected that. And during that time, he picked up the spirit on Jacqueline Kennedy and said, there is a wrong spirit upon the first lady, and that spirit is going to lead many women astray. Why would such a man risk the wrath of the White House? Why would such a man, after he had had an appointment with the Pope, and decline that I don't want to meet the Pope, because one of the requirements is that as you come in, you've got to bow down and kiss the ring of the Pope. Hallelujah. Folks, don't pretend like if you don't know how high profile the Pope is. If you had a Pope, I tell you, you can be sitting in church and say amen. But if they can give you a call and say, we need you tomorrow morning by 9 o'clock, you need to come to Rome. The Pope wants to see you. Many of you look this way and look that way and say, it's not a big deal. Let me go and meet that man. Hallelujah. There are people that are struggling to meet him. But this one had the opportunity to meet him. But he said, listen, I can call him honorable. I can call him His Excellency. But for me to call him Father, there's only one Father that I know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Cancel the appointment. Cancel the appointment. And he canceled the appointment. But why am I talking about this man? It's not because I want to prop up Brother Branham here. It was not Brother Branham. But it's the same Jesus Christ that was here 2,000 years ago. But in our time, he took a vessel called a prophet, and he came into that prophet. And I'm saying, if this morning the same one that took over the vessel called William Branham, if that same one can take over a vessel called yourself, I tell you, you will behave in exactly the same manner. Are we together, folks? Amen. Now, this pressure, folks, there's beginning to be pressure where, how many have been changed by this message? Amen. How many have been changed by this message? What changed you? Books that you read? Tapes that you listened to? Revelation that came from those tapes and books, they changed you. Is it so? Are there people that were changed by listening to this message? And after you listened to the tapes and you read the books, you had certain inclinations before you met the tapes, certain habits. But as you listened to the tapes and as you read the books, those habits and inclinations began to disappear. And folks, I'm saying this, and the prophet mentioned, in every group there are three kinds of believers. I'm talking about the people that have fully surrendered to themselves and yielded to themselves to the spirit that brought the books and the tapes. Those people, there's no way that you can yield yourself and remain the same. There's got to be a change. Are you here, sisters? There's got to be a change. There's a change on how you talk. There's a change in how you walk. There's a change on how you see things. And sometimes this message sometimes causes you to change the company. Not because you hate them, but because you outgrow. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if you outgrow a habit, you've got to outgrow the people that are attached to that habit. I'll repeat that. If you outgrow a habit, you've got to outgrow the people that are associated with that habit. If I'm a smoker and outgrow smoking, at some point in time, I've got to bid the smokers a farewell and say, you won't see me anymore. And actually, without me saying that, they will see that that man is no longer of use. They're actually the ones that will say, we don't need to go with him anymore. Are we together? I hope we are together here. Now, Brother Branham brought this weight. But he could not be here until we are taken home. And he was very clear, and he knew that he would not be around for a long time. And this is what he said in the message, The Birth Pains, paragraph 173. As he was standing there on the platform, there were ministers that were sitting at the back. And Brother Branham said, this man, and I think he was not only, the number of this man was not only limited to the people that were on the podium. I believe every true minister of the message was represented in this statement. This man, if they pick up this, the message, and goes out with it, they can make more sense to it. They will not add to it. They will not subtract from it, but they will make sense to it. And to bring it to a place you would, I just want to lay this seat, then hope they make it to come to life. So that means Brother Bram says, I'm here to lay the seed. And if you lay the seed, you just dig the ground and plant the seed inside and cover the ground with soil. But this man will come. They will water the seed. They will cultivate and make sure that there is nothing that suffocates the life of the seed. Are we together? And how will they make that? They will take the very same message that the prophet has already brought, and they will not bring any other message, but they will stay with the message that has already been brought. Amen. Brother Branham says, stay with the tapes. Amen. And I'm saying it's going to become unpopular as we move, where people are beginning to explore a lot of things. But if you have ever come in contact with the tape, and you knew how the tape changed your life, you've got a burden on your heart that the very same tape that I came in contact with, somebody must come in contact with the same tape, because I know if they come under the same atmosphere, it will produce the same results. Are we together? Folks, these tapes will never be powerless. This message will never be powerless. I don't care how they attack it, I don't care how they leave it, but this message will reproduce of its own kind. Because this message is the word of God, and the word of God will never return to him void, but it will accomplish what it was sent for. This message will call out men and women wherever they are, no matter how deep they are in sin. They will respond to the call of God, and they will never conform to a popular opinion. And I want to say, real Christians that were meaningful is Christians that came and did not conform to the status quo of their time. They knew how people lived during their time, but they said, we will never live this way, we will live that way, because we have been called and we are the separated people for the purpose of God. Yeah. Are you here, folks? Yeah. Now, this is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, verse 20. Jeremiah 10, verse 20. Jeremiah 10, verse 20. It reads in this way. Verse 20, my tabernacle is spoiled. What was God's, what was the tabernacle? God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my courts are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not, and there is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought to the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Are we together? But the scripture say, my tabernacle is spoiled. My dwelling place is spoiled. And this morning, you are meant to be a God's dwelling place. And a lot of times, the reason people are in a mess, it's not so much about what happens in the pews, but it's because of what is being dispensed from the pulpit. Amen. Hallelujah. Because what a minister, when he comes, he does not just deliver the gospel, but every spirit and every sermon has got a spirit behind it. Amen. Brother Bram say, you can never live higher than your pastor. Stay with me. That quotation has got a bearing there. That means, whatever the pastor struggles with, the congregation will struggle with the very thing. Are you here, folks? You find that if a church, a pastor is a humanizer, deacons are humanizers. Trustees are humanizers. Young boys are running up and down. The problem is not them, but the problem is that he who's supposed to lead them, he struggles with a certain spirit. And every Sunday when he comes and preaches to them, the spirit is contagious to them. Are we together? That is why we had to make sure that the prophet messenger that we follow is clean. Sisters, hear me out. The prophet messenger that we follow is clean. Has never left his wife. So that means every man that will genuinely follow this prophet will never leave their wives. I'll repeat that, sister, so that you can understand. Folks, this is a couple of minutes. Let me speak to sisters. Sister, you've got to have your own personal experience. Not your husband's experience. Your own personal experience. Marriage is not a new birth. Believers and unbelievers get married. But you individually on your own, you've got to have a personal experience with God and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Why am I saying that? It's because the reason people are beginning to fight this prophet. It's because they've got message. The entire message is now available on a computer, on your iPad. And over 1,200 messages have been preached. In those 1,200 messages that have been preached, there is a standard of holiness that was set by this message, and that no other thing in the end time has set that standard. And let me tell you something. If you say the message is heavy, it's because the message is not in you. Because as soon as the message is in you, and this message is a yoke, folks. Jesus said, my yoke is easier. So when the weight is out of you, it becomes difficult. But when the weight is in you, it becomes a way of life. And this morning I've got a question to you. Is the weight in you or the weight out of you? If the weight is out of you, the message will be difficult. And when the message becomes difficult, you will begin to go onto your computer and say, how, you know, you are becoming an advocate. How do I punch holes in this very thing? I want to do this, but it does not allow me. How do I punch holes in this? Then you will begin to search nonsensical things. Did this thing happen? Did that thing happen? But the problem is not the thing that happened or the thing that never happened. The problem is your life is not right. Are you here, folks? You want to leave your wife. You have been planning and tossing about it. It is difficult because between you and divorce is the message of the hour. So you want to attack the message. But because sisters sometimes don't have an experience, they just get excited and say, I will follow my man. Let me tell you, you will follow him. But tell me after 10 years, what will become of that man? Did you hear me, sisters? Are you here, sisters? You follow him and he tells you that there is nothing here. Not knowing that is the very thing preventing him to do certain things. And I want to say this. In the end time, no man can live an upright life without the message of the hour. I'm going to repeat that. No man can live an upright life in the end time without the message of the hour. Why? We are back in the days of Sodom. There are certain women that don't have to utter a word to steal your husband away. They've got to walk in a certain way. If he's without the Holy Ghost, he's gone. Are you here? What prevents a man from sinning is not a degree. Oh, no. It's not because he's got self-respect. How many people we see? I mean, there's a professor that I loved dearly. He was all over the news. And he was talking, he's a man of law. He understands the law. He understands the technicalities of the Constitution. But the very man that all radio stations would invite, he was in a court of law because he impregnated a young woman who was young enough to be her granddaughter, his granddaughter. And he even did not want to pay maintenance. Here is a man that can come on radio and say, The president does not adhere to the Constitution. And these are the reasons. And with his sharp mind, he's able to analyze it. But later, once he has knocked off, he's unable to live above sin. Yes. But yet, he's a man of law. Is he a prophet? Yes, he's a professor. Sister, hear me out. In the end time, women, the daughters of men, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Noah, the daughters of men have become more prettier. And I want to say, some of you sisters, some of you, you want to leave the message because you want to dress in a certain way. Let me tell you something. You are no match. I'll repeat. You are no match. I've seen sisters leaving the message wanting to assimilate themselves in the world, they look even more ugly. And you say, goodness, what has she transformed into? Yeah.
She was more preacher when she was in the message, but when she's out there, she's more uglier. And who asked, what's the problem? No, I want to please my husband. If your husband has got to be pleased by a certain particular hairstyle, how many more hairstyles are out there that will be prettier than yours? If your husband is supposed to be pleased by your body shape, how many women have got a better physique out there? Are you here, folks? I'm talking to you this morning. There are women that wear a better hair than what you would ever imagine. The cost of their hair is 10 times expensive. You will never afford that. But I want to tell you, what makes you special, my sister? What makes you that you can never, your stature can never be copycatted? It's the sweet Holy Spirit that is upon your life. Are you here, folks? She could be pretty. She could have beautiful hair, beautiful physique, good skin texture. But if she's without the Holy Spirit, that man realized, although I'm sleeping next to her, but I'm not safe. She can pour me with hot oil at any time. Man, you've got to understand, your as message sister can never be replaced. Are you here, man? Message sister can never be replaced. We're back in the days of Sodom. The only thing that is keeping your husband is this message. Without it, he will go on his wild ways. Every man is an animal, has got attributes and qualities to be an animal. But what makes us to live a little higher than animal? The Holy Ghost in the heart of a man. Can you imagine in our time, this scripture doesn't come. Brothers, I'm on to you now. This scripture doesn't come. He who looketh at a woman and lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. How are you going to fulfill that scripture without the Holy Ghost in our time? These days, you see a man walking down the street looking this way and even hitting the pole. I'm told France has got the highest accidents of motor vehicles because as men are driving, they keep on looking this way and they have a crash. But here is a ministry. Here is a gospel. Here is Jesus. Here is a spirit that makes your husband to look at the very thing and turn away from it. Or if he doesn't turn away from it, maybe he goes down on his knees and says, God, forgive me. I looked where I was not supposed to look. Tell me any gospel in the end time that can do that. The Muslims realized this is a problem. Brothers, as long as you've got money, marry as much as you can. I've got a Muslim friend in Middleburg who was asking me, Madiba, when are you getting the second wife? I say, I'm still fine with the first one. And I think I'll be fine for the rest of my life. He says, I'm on the fourth one, but he's an elder in a mosque. But I realized, I looked at the man, I realized, although he's wearing long robe, although he's going to church every Friday, although he's dedicated, he can go to Mecca, but the spirit of lust, his religion will never help him with that. If he got the first one, he's got to get the second one. And after a while, he's got to get the third one. After a while, he's got to get to the fourth one. But I've got men in the church that have been married over 20 years to one woman, and it is still enough. I say it is still enough. 38 years later, Brother Philip, you are still fine with Sister Winnie. Why are you not looking the other way? It's because you've got the Holy Ghost. You know, if I was a sister and I know this message, I will make sure, honey, we are going to church. If he says no over time, he says, no, work a while, but I need you in church. Amen. Because okay, if you don't come, any man that cannot be in church can never be trusted. What protects you? In the end time, what protects you? And women are prettier. And it is a scripture. Women will be more and more prettier. And they will not become prettier, they've become cheap. Oh, women in the end time have become cheap. You say, my husband is married. They really want the married ones. They say they are the saved ones, because you know if he's not with you, he's at home. Sons of God, are you here? Yes. The devil has anointed the daughters of men to lead you astray. And not only that, he's got another Jesus that can make you run around with women and come into church and sing Amazing Grace, and that Jesus will be pleased. Are you here, folks? He's got another Jesus. That tells you it's not a big deal. We are going on heaven. We are marching on. Whether God likes it or not, we are going to heaven. That Jesus says, I died for you. I don't care how many times you sin. Come to church. I'll give you a recipe how to make more money. 7 steps to financial success, powered by the Lord Jesus. That's not our Jesus. I'm not saying our Jesus does not bless. Our Jesus does bless. But that other Jesus, although he promises you blessing, he does not want you to change. But our Jesus says, come to me, deny yourself, and repent. The word repent is beginning to disappear from many pulpits. The word repent is beginning to disappear. But here I've got news for you. Maybe you will understand as a recipe, as a pastor. I said, God, I'm not looking for a bigger number. Oh yes, we need a bigger number. But I'm not looking for a bigger number initially. Give me a quality. Even if they are 10, but give me a quality. Give me men that are consecrated to the Lord. Give me women that are consecrated to the Lord. Those women will reproduce themselves. Because if I've got junk, junk will reproduce itself. Are you here, folks? I was with Brother Mdoti, Mike Mdoti. We were on his farm. He's got a bull that he loves. It's a special breed. He gave it a name, Jeronomy. He said, Pastor, I want you to come and meet Jeronomy. He is the only bull on the farm. And he says he's doing a good job because 30 cows were pregnant. And he says, look at these other cows that belong to Jeronomy. They look like Jeronomy. And Jeronomy is a beautiful bull. And look at all the others. You've got beautiful cows. He says it's because of Jeronomy. I said, okay, so you have calmed your cows. He says, yes, I've calmed my cows. He said, the reason I did that, I don't want the bull next door that was never chosen by me to come onto my farm, because I will have a reproduction that I was not expecting. The only reproduction that is allowed on my farm is Jeronomy. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy must reproduce himself. Because Deuteronomy is a special breed. And I say, thank God, we've got the word camped around the bride. The only man that must reproduce himself is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want anything from anywhere to reproduce itself. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. And brothers, for you to survive the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we've got to say, brothers that mistreat their wives, they're embarrassing us. They're making our sermons to be of none effect. Because as we preach right there, the wife is thinking, good, but what about him? I've got news for you, sister. He has not yielded himself to the Holy Ghost if he behaves in an untowards manner. Men that have yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit, they are sweet. They help even at home. Wear apron and help her wash dishes. Oh, yes, I see some men are giving me a funny look. The prophet walked into the house, took an apron, and began to wash the dishes and helped the wife. Did not send the woman alone to go and do shopping. He says, when I was at JCPenney, I was with my wife. Why would you want your wife to go alone shopping? A man that was always alone is suspicious. I don't trust such a man. It's fine if I meet you alone during the week you're working, but every time alone in this world. And I'm glad, have you seen the brothers in this church, whatever they do, if it's business, they do it with their wives. Did you see? We have designed it that way. We want it that way. If it's a business, your wife must be at the back. Brother Mutlavi, Sister Irene. Brother Dipadi, Sister Dipadi. Brother Mpanyana, Sister Mpanyana. We understand these dynamics. You cannot be there and run and interact with women. There are certain situations where you need to step out and say, honey, you are going to handle this woman better. And your wife, let me tell you, never defend another woman to your wife. Your woman can see the spirit in another woman before you can see it. And some men have got the audacity to say, oh, she smiled at me. There's no big deal. And even argue with your wife. And the wife say, I don't trust her. If my wife ever says I don't trust any woman, I will never trust her. She sees something. She's my helpmate. Oh, somebody says she controls you. She is protecting me from confessing unnecessary sins. That's why I want her by my side. Watch over that one. She's your deputy. Helpmate, she's there looking at it. Folks, in order to overcome in this world, we've got to be agile. We've got to be 5 steps ahead of the enemy. We are not going to be caught slumbering men. And our women must pray for us. You must, sister, you must pray for him. As you iron his clothes, pray for him. And you know, this woman that loved the other Jesus, they love sharing with brothers. Especially message brother. You know, I don't understand the Godhead. Can you explain to me? And if you are not a discerning brother, you send a WhatsApp. Oh, the prophet, here's the quotation. Oh, thank God. We are blessed by this message. The next day, I don't understand. Explain to me, what do you think about the new city? Send. Oh, you are such a blessing, brother. The other time, explain to me the battle of Armageddon. Sand. Oh, you are deep, brother. And you come and say, sisters think I'm spiritual. They are out to get you. If it was genuine, they will ask your wife. And say, ask your husband, I need to understand this matter. Are you here, folks? Any woman that would want to speak to a man without his wife being inside, she's a suspect. She's a suspect. I'm helping you, man. We've got to be agile. And later your wife says, well, why doesn't she send it to me? You say, no, you don't understand. She can only access me. No! Your wife is in the message. Maybe it's about time you said to that woman and say, woman, come over to my house. My wife will cook some good dinner and we're going to have fellowship. And if she says, no, I'm busy, you realize it was a demon upon her life. I've just helped you, sisters. Any woman that you deal with, you must hand him over, her over. Don't hold on to her for long. Hand her over to other women. Because you don't know what she may be planning. Sometimes she's innocent. It's a spirit behind her. She's not even aware. Amen. Pastors are afraid. They are caught between this Jesus that we know of the Bible, this Jesus, and this other Jesus. They are caught between the Holy Spirit and this other Spirit. They are caught up between this gospel and the other gospel. And let me tell you something. When you preach this gospel, initially, people will leave and never come back. She just showed me another, I've got a picture there. They will leave and not come back. And a pastor begins to be under pressure. I had so much. Do you see a reassuring lie? And do you see the inconvenient truth? No one is at that counter, but there is a queue. Now, this other group preach another Jesus with another spirit for another gospel. This one is the same gospel, but no one is there. Ultimately, the pastor there, he begins to wonder, am I really called of God? Am I really called of God? Why no one is coming? And if he's not an ordained man, if his calling is not foreordained, he will begin to say, certain things are no longer a big deal because he wants half of the crowd to come there by him. And you'll begin to see the standard of holiness dropping. You'll begin to see the church becoming wealthy. It's because he's worried that I'm losing the people that go to that church. Maybe half of them should be coming to me. Then he will begin to say, it's not a big deal. Come as you are and remain as you are. Then he moves from a sin-convicting gospel, hallelujah, to a pleasing gospel. And every time after the church, he wants to know, how was the sermon? And when they say the sermon was good, pastor, he feels better. It's an assurance to him that they are coming back. But I'm glad that by predestination, there will be men that will not care about the long queue. They will remain with the weight. And if you don't come back, you will meet them at the day of judgment. Because every time when you come into a church, the only opportunity some of the people that will ever hear about God is now. And if I don't deliver it in that way, and that soul leaves, and at the day of judgment, but say, but I know Pastor Madiba. I was once in his church. He never told us about these things. Yeah. Are there people that have ever managed people here? Are there people that have ever managed people? Do you know that in corporate, it has become whereby if you tell somebody to do something, you say, sign here. Where do we do that? Proof. Brother Abraham is an auditor. When the auditors come and they ask an employee, do you know about this and that? An employee, if he knows that, you never made him sign. He says, oh, we don't know anything. Oh, the manager never told you. No, he never told me. Yeah. Then who's going to take a fall? The manager. Did you tell them about it? Yes, I told them about it. Where is the proof? No, I don't have the proof, but I told them. No, they say you have never told them. If you don't have the proof, you never told them. We are telling you, and we are putting it on record. We are putting it on a website. At that day, I'll say, Lord Jesus, you can play all my tape. I've said it. Repent. Amen. Don't go back to your old sin. Repent. And I say, it was not easy, but I said it. Their blood is no longer on my hands. But after you have preached this, others are going to go and look for the other Jesus. The other Jesus. Amen. It's not a big deal how you are dressed. Why should we speak about dressing? I'm glad we've got very spiritual deacons here. I was telling Brother Dibadi. The other time I walked in here, as I walked in, there was a woman that was not dressed properly and was facing my direction. And immediately, Brother Philip went there and swapped her with another sister. I said, this, when I was sitting, standing there, I said, these are real deacons. They can check the spirits. How do you preach? A woman is right in front of you like that. That's in the denominations. That's what they do. And the pastors have fallen with them. What I'm simply saying, folks, this message is not like any other message. This message is not like any other message. It calls for high regards, high standards of cleanliness. And now, young men that have left their wife, because if you leave your wife, you can never remarry. If you leave her, you can never remarry. Can I have an amen on that? If you leave her, you can never. I'm not talking about when you did not know before you came. If you know after we have taught and you decide that I'm done with you and you leave and marry somebody else, you can never come back into church and say, forgive me. As a pastor, I'll say, no, sir, try another church. Because you knew, are you here, church? Because if I allow one man that divorced and comes back with another woman, and they sit here, they are damaging the psyche of young men. Over a small argument, he thinks that I can leave and get another one and be like brother so-and-so. We need to keep the church clean. Brampayana knows a man came to see me and said, Pastor, I'm back. I want to worship. I said, okay. Where's the wife? He says, yeah. That one does not understand the spoken word. I found one that understands the spoken word. We're in my office. I said, brother, then you need to try another church. In this church, I cannot accept you. What would have happened if I had allowed that man to come in here? How would have the sisters related to his wife to his second or no, to a third wife when they know the first wife. Then we've got to say, no, we can accept this. Either you come with the wife that we know or you come alone. But you know why? He left. Is he not worshiping? He found another church where he can worship. Sing Amazing Grace. The pastor's got no problem. Not a church in a denomination, a message church. And I'm simply saying, for everything that we reject, another church will be ready to embrace that. But I'm saying Lighthouse Tabernacle, even if God takes me off the scene, never ever accept nonsense if it has been disapproved by the message of the hour. If you remain five of you, remain five as you are. You rather be fewer, but be honest with God than be a majority and be rejected by God. Do you hear me, folks? And sister, if I was you, I would want to be in a church. The moment a pastor defends another man who left his wife, and you continue to say amen to that pastor, it's a matter of time before he will encourage your own husband and say, listen, normally when things are like this, you can leave. And I'm simply saying, folks, if I've never left, none of you are leaving. Did you hear me? And if the prophet never left, I will never leave. And if I never left, young men, you are not leaving. If you have married her, it is until death do us apart. Not until some Jezebel comes along. Until death do you apart. The danger that we've done an interbreeding. We have not been like Brother Mdoti that said, I only want Jijernomi. We have allowed every bull to come. We have all sorts of seeds, and they are reproducing themselves. And you wonder why your children, they leave the message. Why is our young people leaving the message in numbers? If Tumi, my son, can ever come to a point where he discovers, even by slightest chance, that what I preach here is not what I live, he's going to go. There's not even one preacher, there's not even one conference that will stop him. As long as he can know Dad is a pastor, but he does this, instead of living this way, he's gone. And I'm not saying they will not go. Even after we have taught them, some will go. I'm told of a brother whose son stole a car. And as he stole a car, the dad didn't know anything about it. Right from as he was driving, I'm told that this brother, this young man, a conversation that he had with his dad many years ago rang in his head, where his father asked him, how's your prayer life? And he said, as it came back, tears started streaming down his cheeks, and he turned his car and took it home and went to look for his father and said, Dad, I really apologize. I stole your car. And I'm saying we need to allow the Holy Spirit to go and convict our children that even when they are wrong on their ways, they can repent and come back and say, I did not do things right. But it starts with us as parents. They are watching every move. Do we really take this message seriously, or we don't take this message seriously? Are we casual with this Jesus, or are we not casual about this Jesus? They are watching. And whatever they see you doing has got an influence on you. And I'm saying a lot of our young people, the reason they have gone back into the world, some of them have seen things that they should have never seen.
Some of them, they have seen hypocrisy. A sister phoned me from another church and said, "Pastor, guess what? As soon as I was baptized, all young men were all over me proposing me." I said, "Those are a bunch of trash. Give me their names. Give me their names. You can't baptize a sister today. All young men are all over." But I realized that sometime it's because the pulpit does not set the standard. I'm going to close. Brother Branham, when he preached the message, "The Bridge," and I asked myself, why did Brother Branham call it "The Bridge," not "The Bridge"? He did not say "The Bridge." He said "The Bridge." And I went to check, because you would imagine that it's the bridge between the seven churches and the seals. But I realized that the way to the bridge, it means there's been, the relation is broken. When you take somebody to court, you take them for breach of promise. Whenever there is a bridge, it means something is broken. And Brother Branham comes, he preaches the message, "The Bridge between the seven church ages and the seals." And later he comes, he says, the seven church ages, it was the church coming to God. And he says, the seals, it was God coming to the church. And the prophet comes, he says, "I want to speak about the bridge." What was happening? Relations were being fixed. The relationship between the church and God and Christ was being fixed. And then he comes, he says, "I want to preach about the bridge." Now, check out here. They've been attacking the seven church ages. Every time any person attacks the seven church ages, he does not only attack the deadlines, the timelines, he attacks the church. He attacks the woman. And later, when somebody attacks the seals, he's attacking the husband that is coming to the church. Are we together? And I'm saying, now people are beginning, you know, you young people, Google has messed up with your mind. Google has messed up with your mind. Because everything that you search on Google, you think is God. But you forget that Google is just a combination of a lot of work from different people, believers and unbelievers, accusers and traitors, all kinds of people. They are there on Google. It does not mean that when you go and search something and something comes up, it becomes an absolute. The word is the absolute. And how do you know the way? You know the way not by looking for a keyboard. You know the way by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will lead you to the way. But Google will lead you to a man-made research. And young people are beginning, some of them say, "Oh, Brother Branham, when he spoke about the church ages, it was plagiarism." Plagiarism, that means you took somebody's work and you made it as if it was your own and never acknowledged the source. They say the seven church ages, it came from Clarence Lykin. Folks, I want to explain to you. Clarence Lykin was a renowned Baptist preacher in the 18th century. We really value his work. And I've read the books of Clarence Lykin. He wrote a book called The Spirit World. He wrote the book called The Underworld. And I went to go and search, what does he say about the underworld? He drew a diagram of paradise, and he drew the diagram of the region of the lost. And he put it like that. But in the end time, the very prophet that they say he took the work of Clarence, the prophet goes, he takes the very same thing. He says, but paradise is done away. Did Lykins ever say that?
He says, God, abolish paradise and took the saints and put them in the sixth dimension. There's never been a man in our generation that taught us about the seventh dimension. Only one man. His name is William Branham. Clarence, he comes, like him. He says a man is a triune being. He is a body, soul, spirit. If this prophet was taken from that man, he would have left it like that. But the prophet said, I had to read a lot of work by historians. But as I was reading, there was an angel of God in my room who night after night, he told me, that is not done properly. That's why he came. He said, it's not body, soul, spirit. It is body, spirit, soul. There's no historian. Even Pentecostals today when they preach, they say body, soul, spirit. Only message people say body, spirit, and soul. Where do they take it? It's authentic from the angel. Clarence Lankins, he was precise. He wrote about the seven church ages and gave them the timelines. And he put them on a graph. It is there, precisely. And it says Ephesians and he called of them. But there's something that he did not do. He did not know that Paul was the first messenger. He did not know that Irenaeus was the second messenger. Only one man came and said, here is Paul. Here is Irenaeus. Here is Columba. Here is Martin Luther. Here is John Wesley. Here is the brother Branham. Elijah in the end time. Are you here, folks? He comes. He speaks about the seals. But there's only one man in the generation that came and said, where are we in this Abrahamic age? And this man, he goes, he pulls Genesis 18, and he says, Genesis 18 is the revelation of the Son of Man. And he said, Revelation 10 is the revelation of the Son of Man. Revelation 18, an angel comes down, goes to Abraham's house. Revelation 10, an angel comes down, goes to the bride. Between the bride, between Sarah and the angel, it was Abraham. Between the angel and the bride, William Branham. Are we together? When all other people were busy, fine, and afraid of marriage and divorce, and Brother Branham had a full of church, men that had divorced 3 times, 4 times, and he comes, he says, when I preach marriage and divorce, he says, there are certain pages, Brother Woods, that I had to scratch because I did not have the heart to say it to the people. And he comes, he breaks into this marriage and divorce. And as he's busy preaching, women take their handbags and they move out of the church. But sisters that knew their position, they remained. Because he was showing how an ill-famed woman behaves and typed that woman to a church. And as he was there, it was not easy for this man until his child came to him and said, when I get married, I don't want to get married to a man like you. And Brother Brown said, it broke my heart. And I said, Becky, would you rather get married to a man that will marry you today and leave you tomorrow until the child had to come and say, I'm sorry. But you can imagine that child, after those messages, what were the parents of Brother Branham kids saying to them? Your dad is a hard man. It's not easy. It's not like Oral Roberts. It's not like Billy Graham. And this morning I'm glad he was never like Oral Roberts. I'm glad that he was not like Billy Graham. I'm glad he stayed in the middle of the road and preached the revealed word of the hour when it was unpopular. Amen. And that is why today the same message is preserving us. Our young men that are being produced by this message are 10 times better than presidents of the world. Did I say that correctly? Yes, young men that are produced by this message are 10 times than presidents of this world. Actually, we can say the South African Parliament must come and observe our young men. They will learn how to treat women. Our young men don't run around with women. You won't find them in this mall with this other girl. And you run into another mall, you find them with another girl. Not our young men. And if you know any other one, maybe it's not part of us, tell us about it. We'll sort it out immediately after the service. Our young men, wherever you find them, they don't run around with young women. Our young men have got respect. They are gentlemen. If they want to get married, they go to the pastor. Pastor, can you speak to the parents of Sister so-and-so? I want to marry their daughter. They don't text and ask her to send her naked pictures. Not our young men. But young men of this perverted world are degrading young women. How many times do we hear of women who send boys their pictures naked, and all of a sudden it's all over the internet, and she commits suicide? But that young man has got a church where they preach another Jesus, where there is another spirit, where there is another gospel. But here, young men have got respect. A young woman, they don't sell themselves in a sexy manner to men. They've got a decorum. There's the way they dress. There's the way they interact with men. Respect. They are guarding their spirit. Because one day they know they're going to be another man's spirit. If you send them an SMS, they send it to his father, her father, and to the pastor. Then the pastor visits you. And our young men, you will never marry them unless you have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean when they greet you well and say, God bless you, doesn't mean that they want something from you. No. They are sweet, but they are steadfast. You need to be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And young women that respect the pastor will come and say, Pastor, he has approached me. What do you think? And if I know you are a crook, I will not hide it from her. I've got a moral obligation to say, my daughter, that one is still in ICU. We are still trying to fix them. He is not ready to get married. And getting married, it doesn't mean we've got money. I've seen men that drive better cars, have got better bank balance, but do not qualify to get married. And I've seen men that ride a bicycle, but is ready to get married. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about being spiritually ready and be able to provide for her and finding a place for her. A young sister knows that if I get married to this man, oh God, help me. Help me that 10 years from now, I will still be married to this man. And sister, when he leaves the message, you cannot confirm it. I said to another young lady this in closing, they have left the message, they're all over the internet, are taking them. And people are very subtle. When they leave, they don't tell their friends that we have left the message. They start posting secular quotes. The laws and the prophets were until John. And because people are not discerning, they go there and just like. And they come back and say, this is what I was reading about and this is what I discovered. And they don't know. The boy is dragging them along. But the boy has not been to a church in a long time. The wife is busy sharing the man. Go on, tell them. I said, I hope in 10 years you'll be able to say to this man, tell them. So do you wish that we're going to divorce? Can a man of God wish that we can be divorced? Without this message, I cannot guarantee your marriage. The younger brother joined and said, yeah, William Branham is wrong. But I said, you, it may be because you are divorced. And you know what William Branham said about marriage and divorce. You don't hate William Branham, you hate the subject marriage and divorce. When you attack the prophet, we're going to investigate the reasons why you hate him. There will be a reason. And a lot of times it has to do with people's conduct. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly as you stand up. Brother Mpayana, if you can come to the fore. As we stand up,
we love you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We lay our lives before you. We love you, Lord. We
love you, Lord.
We adore you. Besides you, Lord,
besides you, Lord,
no other God but you, we lay our lives before your throne. None besides you, Lord.
Is just in the house, is going to be known for a second service, so we'll just wrap up here quickly and then let us just bow our heads. And Brother Grace here, just come forth, my brother, and let's just say, let's just wrap up in the word of prayer.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, dear God, we are so grateful, O Lord, this afternoon. We came this morning into your house, O Father, Lord, and truly you've spoken your word into our heart. God Almighty, we so blessed, O Father, Lord, this morning. And now that we are preparing, O Lord Jesus, to leave, we pray that you come, O Lord Jesus, and let your anointing, O Father, Lord, this very same spirit and atmosphere that we felt here, oh Lord Jesus. May it, oh Father, Lord, come with us, oh Lord, unto our respective places. Oh God Almighty, help us, oh Lord Jesus, to be so vigilant, oh God, and watch out, oh Lord, on spirit, oh Father, so that we always remain and keep our same Jesus Christ that we know, oh God, and not other Jesus or other gospel or spirit, oh Father, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, oh Father, Lord, because without the Holy Ghost, it's going to be difficult even to watch and to see what is what, oh Father. Only your spirit, when we fill with your spirit, oh God, we can stand, oh Lord Jesus, whether it's work, whether it's school, oh Lord, out there, we still gonna make it and stand, oh Lord, because we depend upon you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, and we really appreciate, oh Lord, this message. We thank you, oh God, we'll never thank enough for Malachi, for Brother Branham, because we can see how we've become, oh Lord, crackpots, how we've become, oh Father, Lord, different from the world, oh Lord Jesus. Every Sunday, people go to churches, they read the same scriptures and the Bible that we read, oh Father, but by the revelation of your word, oh Lord Jesus, because of Brother Branham that you sent to us, oh God, we can live differently from the world. Thank you, Father, Lord. Now I pray, oh Lord Jesus, for the pastor that is going to have another service, oh God. May you please be with him, oh Lord Jesus. He just preached here, Father, Lord, and truly he must be tired. I pray that you, the Lord, that use him, oh God, May you, God, be with him as he's going to preach there. Anoint him, oh Father, Lord, so that our brethren, the other side, will also be blessed, oh Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, even us that are remaining behind. We just pray that we be with us, oh Lord, till we meet again, oh Lord. I commit everyone into your hand. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hold fast to that word. Amen. And then let us just meditate upon the word all the time. And then God will protect us. He will be with us. He will bless us. He is everything to us. Amen. So one song, at least I've got an opportunity here today. Let's just sing it. We used to call it our war cry. Let's just sing it. And then God bless you all. Amen.
Hallelujah.